Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Initial Reaction, your favorite podcast that you are listening to right now. That's a scientific fact. My name is... What?
You've used that intro before. Try again.
Okay. Hi, everybody. What's up? My name is JP Gadorn. I work for Time Warner Cable Sports Channel, and it's awesome, and I'm awesome. Who are you?
That one caught me off guard. That's a good one. I like that one. I'm J.R. Radcliffe from Lake Country Publications and Now Newspapers, live, sort of, from the Time Warner Cable, sort of, what do we call this? It's not a studio, it's more like a...
Well, this is an edit suite.
Hole. Oh, an edit
it's
suite.
A cubbyhole?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what it
that's
feels
a
like a
cubby
little
cubbyhole is big enough to hold shoes.
Well, I can fit my shoes
this
in here, so that's
$20,000 of editing equipment.
Well, that's true. And you got new phones, I see.
Maybe, like, $200 of editing equipment.
Yes.
Anyway,
it depends on what you can get for it on the secondary market.
No, we are in my edit suite. It's cozy.
It is cozy. A great time, a great place to talk sports, including a lot of basketball, obviously, because it's the middle of March, and if you're thinking about other sports in the middle of March, then you must be a terrible person and also not a basketball fan. We had the girls' state tournament this past weekend, the boys' state tournament coming up this weekend. JP Gadorn and I were both at the girls' championship
it
games
was awesome.
On Saturday. It was awesome. And then, of course, the NCAA tournament, which features two Wisconsin-based teams. Lots to discuss. Very exciting time.
But how many Wisconsin connections does the tournament feature?
Interesting you should ask, JP, because the 68 degrees of separation, now live at lakecountrynow.com and mycommunitynow.com, gives you all of the connections to all of the teams. There are 28 basketball players in the men's tournament. I don't recall how many in the women's tournament. I think there's 9.
14.
Is it 14?
No, I just guessed.
Oh, okay. There's 9 plus everyone on the GB roster, with minus like 3 people. So basically, it's more like 16 or 17, but it's definitely 9 additional players.
Okay.
Anyway, all of that is cataloged for you at our special feature, which I'm very proud of, put a lot of work into. That's available, like I said, at lakecountrynow.com. Basketball. It's so much fun. I love talking about basketball.
Why?
Because it's a great sport, and the tournament is a great time of year.
It is a great time of year. I'll give you that. And even if you sit through 4 games of high school girls basketball on Saturday, which we did. Well, I did. You sat through 2, I think.
I did.
It was fun, though. That Saturday was really fun, and then we get into Sunday and Selection Sunday, that monstrosity of a show that just completely ruined one of the greatest hours of television of the year.
Yes! Not the Time Warner Cable special on UWGB.
No, though. That was called Phoenix Rising, which premiered Monday at 5 o'clock, but there's still plenty of chances for you to catch it. A half-hour special about the Green Bay Phoenix men who are advancing to the tournament for the first time in 20 years.
30 years.
20 years.
Did I say 30 years?
I don't know, but it's 20 years. Because,
oh, yeah, 96.
Yeah, 1996 was the last time they went. Well, it sounds like you didn't. 94 was the last and only time that they won a game.
Oh, I know what it is. Muskego is going to the boys' state tournament for the first time in 30 years.
Yeah.
These things sometimes run together in a strange way.
You're covering a lot of teams right now.
I am.
I'm covering more, so...
Will you be going to see UWGB play?
I am bound for Oklahoma City tomorrow. That's mañana for those of you that speak Espanol.
Assuming this gets up online on Tuesday night, then it might not be mañana anymore.
I'm flying out Wednesday to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Never been to that state before.
Oh, that's interesting. Oklahoma City is a very awesome city. Now, I've actually never been there myself, but my wife has. I've been to Tulsa, which is fine, whatever. Oh, it's a little different than what I anticipated. Oklahoma City, though, has an amazing memorial about from the terrorist attacks And I'm drawing a blank. It's Timothy McVeigh.
Yes,
at the Federal Building. And just an incredible chairs as set up as sort of gravestones for each of those who died that day. It's really, really interesting.
Yeah. So I'm heading there.
So you should sightsee.
So I'm heading there Wednesday. The practice day and press conference day is Thursday. So that'll be a little busy. And then game day Friday. And then hopefully I'm staying past Saturday. But chances are they're playing Texas A&M.
What chances do they have against Texas A&M?
I think a 2 out of 10 odds chance that they win. If they play 10 times, I think they win 2 of them.
Ooh, that's really... that's giving them, I think, a lot of credit.
You think so?
Well, in general, you know, I would say a 3-14 matchup, that's maybe what you'd go with. But this year, in contrary to how I thought the tournament would play out, there are so many teams in the bracket that did not win their conference in the regular season, like 4 and 5 seeds in the tournament, that it is inflated artificially. UW Green Bay in a vacuum is a 15 or 16 seed. They just are. They're the middle of the pack team in the Horizon League.
They played one tournament team all year.
Right.
One.
That's
Wisconsin.
What I'm saying. And I think Valparaiso is at that level. So they beat a pretty good Valpo team. They also lost to them twice.
Yeah. So I don't know. But I know that their pace is a problem. They are the 6th highest scoring team in Division I basketball. They are a good team. They have 2 very good players, which Jordan Faust is going to leave Green Bay. Nobody has started more games. Nobody in the Horizon League has blocked or has stolen more passes. Like, he's going to leave Green Bay as one of the all-time greats. And, like, he was just this kid at Racine St. Cath's who I think played in the state tournament as a freshman. And I think he dunked twice. I'm like, who is this kid? And he was never really highly recruited, but he went to Green Bay, and he's going to leave as one of the all-time greats, and that's crazy. So they have him and Carrington Love. Those are the 2 seniors that the team has who have been 4-year players, stuck it out through a coaching change, and they have been 2 incredible leaders for that team. And now they get, you know, they get their dream season.
It's not like Faust was a nobody.
No,
it's not
but
like he was a surprise. He was always a Division I caliber kid, but he kind of came in that wave of talent after that first wave. De'Vron Bostic, Cordero Barkley, James Harzma, Jamie McAndrew, those teams that won a couple titles. And then, so he was kind of that next wave of talent at St. Catharines. Not as heralded as that initial wave, I would say. So he was a little bit of a surprise. I think Carrington Love at Pius, who I keep coming back to this, senior year was ranked 28th in the senior class by Wisports.net. And not to make fun of their rankings, because their rankings are very good. And you usually see the top 10 kids maybe are Division I caliber kids. This senior class actually had nowhere near that, nowhere near 10. And then sort of after that, you're talking about D2, D3 kids. Maybe a kid like Love ends up at a Whitewater. I mean, that's sort of where number 28 would typically round out. That's typically where they'd end up. But he is not only a Division I kid. He's a senior leader for a team in the NCAA tournament and a first-team all-conference kid. He was sort of a diminutive guard at Pius and really just put it together. And he got strong. I mean, he was very good as a senior, and he's played in the state tournament. I mean, he had a very good senior year and deserved to be a Division I kid. It's just, I'm really impressed to see really both of those guys, like you said, to evolve into senior leaders and to get this unbelievable chance to play in the NCAA tournament.
And then you got Turner Botts and Kenny Lowe from Little Chute High School.
Yeah.
You have Little Jesperson. I don't even remember his
David
first
Jesperson
name from Merrill.
Whose brother is playing for Northern Iowa, also in the tournament.
Paul Jesperson.
That's right.
I think maybe 1 or 2 other connections.
Well, Jamar Hurdle.
There you go, from Milwaukee.
I think Madison.
Madison.
Yeah.
So, so I think there's just a lot of cool storylines, and I just feel good for them, mainly just because they beat Valpo, and anything associated with Valpo is complete trash.
Oh, JP, why?
Burn.
Why do you do that to me? It's not like I'd make fun of Iowa.
No, I
do
like the
Iowa
school and like those people, and Link Darner is a good guy from what I've gotten a chance to interact with him so far. So it should be fun. So I'm heading down with them on Wednesday, Thursday practice day, Friday game day, and then in all likelihood back Saturday.
I'll be interested to see what this does for Link Darner's career. Now, several years ago, UWM went to, of course, the Sweet 16, and UWM is where Bo Ryan sort of got his Division I start and sort of rose from there. Then Rob Jeter takes over. They work into the tournament.
Well, then Bruce Pearl.
Oh, Bruce Pearl. He's the one who led
them
to the Sweet
16. He's the one who took
them
to the Sweet
16,
yes.
If that wasn't clear. And then
Bo Ryan was like exactly 500 at UWM. Like he was not like 80 and 10.
But the program started to build under him. Bruce Pearl took it to the next level. Yep. Rob Jeter comes in. They win that first round game over Oklahoma under Rob Jeter, And then it was kind of presumed that he would keep moving up the ladder. Never did. Got a nice, I mean, a nice contract to stay at UWM, but hasn't moved up. And maybe that's not what he wants. Maybe he's perfectly happy being in Wisconsin. I mean, he's obviously been here for many years, back to when he was at the University of Wisconsin on Ryan's staff. So I don't know if he necessarily considers it a disappointment, but you got to kind of strike while the iron is hot. Look at what the Florida Gulf Coast coach did when they went to the Sweet 16. He is now at USC. And you kind of don't get this chance every year. And I think it's fair to say there's a little bit of luck involved that UWGB is in the dance, as well as many teams that are in the dance because they were really good in their conference tournament. So do you strike while the iron is hot? Does he listen to offers, or does he sit tight for a while? I don't know.
He is the – well, talking about Link Darner, if they don't win, then I don't necessarily know how hot the iron is.
Yeah, I agree with you.
If they just win, then it – if they don't win, then it's just, you know, an impressive win over Valparaiso and then another win over Wright State. So not the most impressive iron being hot. But this is also ahead of schedule. I mean, I think everybody would agree, especially in Green Bay, I think everybody agrees that – you know, this is not his permanent home. That if, you know, in 2 to 3 years, once he finally got his players on campus, which was the plan, and then they made it with a regular season championship tournament berth, then you could see him leaving. But as of now, I don't think there would be any reason for him to leave. I don't know what sort of vacancies are out there, but I look at somebody like Jim Larinaga, who took George Mason to their heights, but then actually stuck around for a while, for a couple more seasons, and then left. And I think, well, he's at Miami now. I don't know if he went anywhere before that, but
no, he went right to Miami, and now he's back in the tournament.
I think Link Darner stays. Some people are picking Miami in the Final Four.
No.
Yeah.
That won't happen.
But I think Link Darner stays, and I think Rob Jeter is maybe on the way out based on this postseason.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He is the most underappreciated head coach in the history of college basketball. It is ridiculous what he has done.
Yeah.
He has taken that program and kept it at the level that two legendary head coaches have kept him. And all anybody can talk about is, so when are they going to get rid of him? Or so when is he leaving? It's like, my goodness, can't you just appreciate the fact that they've had now two perfect APR scores after going through a nightmare? The kids stayed on, and then they finished fifth. Yeah, fifth in the league this year.
Yep, they were the 5 seed anyway in the tournament. I don't know if they tied, maybe.
Yeah, I just think it is such a joke the way that he gets treated.
I kind of agree with that. That's an interesting – it's an interesting argument in Milwaukee right now. UWM decided not to participate in any postseason tournaments when they were not invited to the NIT. There's maybe 2 to 3 CBI, I guess, the most familiar.
CBI, CIT, and Vegas 16, which does not have 16 teams.
It's like the Big Ten.
It is Vegas 16, Vegas 2016 with 8 teams.
Okay.
Including Northern Illinois, I think Northern Kentucky.
Did you just say Northern Illinois?
No, it was Northern Illinois, some form of Northern Kentucky. Like, literally, just awful teams.
That's really hilarious.
Yeah.
Northern Illinois, by the way, has a couple Wisconsin kids on it. But very misleading. They should just say that everybody won their first-round game, get them to feel good about themselves, and now they're an 8-team tournament. So UWM decided not to do that, decided not to play on. And sort of the sentiment is, from the athletic director, we, you know, hold ourselves to a higher standard and don't want to play in those games. That particular attitude has been very upsetting to a lot of people because, as you mentioned, this is a team that had problems with the APR, did not get to do a postseason bid no matter what last year, and then they ended up really rebuilding themselves in the classroom to the point that they were getting 100% on the APR scoring.
And that APR
system
score had nothing to do with that current with year's current team. It's everything like 4 years ago. But the players who stuck it out, went through that postseason ban, are now on this year's team and eligible. And to not let them play another game is ridiculous.
Right. Now, the counterpoint, which I think is a good one, is it's a lot of money that you have to put forth as a program to play in these tournaments. Now, let's
she
be honest.
She didn't bring that up, did she?
She didn't. And that's the problem I have with this. I don't disagree with the decision not to play. Like, there are a lot of things that...
It's your reasoning.
The reasoning is weird. I don't understand why they didn't... I don't... Maybe she felt that talking about money is even a more shallow way of approaching it. But, I mean, to be honest, here's what she should have said. The CBI is not an important tournament to anyone. It's not going to be televised. No one's going to watch it. Outside of the UWM current students and a handful of alumni, no one will care if they win or lose in that tournament. Certainly, if they win the tournament, it's not going to do a whole lot for this community.
See, then I still would have agreed. I still would have disagreed, and I said, your players deserve it. Because they sat through a punishment that they didn't deserve. they deserve to play in any extra game possible.
And I would agree with that if the price tag weren't so steep. And we're talking about, so the one example I heard, their baseball team plays at a county park. UWM is the only Division I baseball team in this state in college, and they play at a county park. Why isn't money going towards that? I can understand the unwillingness to spend a lot of money on something. I get it. It looks good for the university, and it rewards those kids. But, I mean, I can understand from a money standpoint why they don't do it. What I don't get is the reasoning that, turning our nose up at those tournaments.
Because, again, that's fine. Marquette did the same exact thing.
Yes.
Only they didn't say that it was because, you know, they hold themselves to a higher standard.
I mean, they said because we're exhausted, which is a joke. It's the same thing. They hold themselves to a higher standard. And if you want to do that, that's fine. I don't agree with that, especially in the UWM case. But that's fine.
But UWM players deserved it.
They do. Especially 100%. Matt Tybee, who really was the face of the organization.
I just want to go, like, practice. Like, he sent out a tweet, like, if it were up to me, practice would start tomorrow. I just want to go, like, practice with him now.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Buddy, it's okay.
Oh,
like,
he would dunk on you pretty bad. I'm not sure you'd be able to keep up with him.
I tried out for the team one day, and it failed. It was very bad.
Really?
I ran the hill and did the workouts, and then played a game of horse against Austin Arians, and I lost 5-0.
Yeah, you lost me at the hill. I was pretty much...
The hill was
point.
Okay. It was the stairs that sucked.
Oh, okay.
You can YouTube it.
mycommunitynow.com/YouTube/search
for JP Gadorn and Milwaukee Panthers.
Stuff up.
Yeah,
I'll just put it in a Google search. I might actually look that up.
It was fun.
So anything to be gleaned from the UWGB selection show? The women's team, as they always do,
women's
also
team made it as
the
a 10
tournament.
Seed against Tennessee. Men are 14 against Texas A&M. The biggest point for me that I kind of talked with the kids on and off camera about was we already talked about Florida Gulf Coast, Hampton, George Mason, UAB. Like, there are these teams, and not necessarily the Hamptons and UABs, but George Mason and Florida Gulf Coast, those are teams that are ingrained in our heads as, like, March legends. And why? Oh, because they got to the Sweet 16. Because they made a big upset and they got to, like, the Sweet 16. Northern Iowa from, I think, like, 2009, something around there.
Ali Farouk-Manesh.
There you go, Farouk-Manesh. There are these teams that just become staples of Americana. They could be that. Now,
they could.
Now, I don't know if they're going to, and I don't know if they even have the talent to. But just
those teams didn't either. I mean, a lot of those teams were surprises.
All you have to do is you have to catch A&M on a bad day, and you have to have a good day, you know? And then after that, they're playing Texas or Northern Iowa, actually. So it could be Green Bay against Northern Iowa. I mean, it could happen, and it could be phenomenal. Like, you look at, and I don't know the stats, but, like, hearing stats about something how, like, enrollment applications at Gulf Coast went up, like, 3,000%.
No doubt. Well, yeah.
Like, Green Bay could become a name in college basketball. And it has such an enormous impact that to not give them any credit and just brush it off is, like, I mean, why even try, is just such a crazy thing to me because there is so much at stake. And it's all riding on the backs of guys like Turner Botts from Little Shoot. That's so cool to me.
I don't know if anybody's saying don't even try. I think everyone acknowledges there's
But I remember in the past watching the selection show and seeing teams that are 13 through 16, these mid-major teams, and seeing them celebrate when they got their name called and just thinking, you idiots. Like, what are you celebrating? You just got matched up with Kentucky.
Right.
And it just didn't feel that way this year. Now, that's not saying that they're going to win, but it just didn't feel that way. It felt like they were ready to go and, you know, David was ready to go slay Goliath.
Right, and I think that's true even into the 16 seeds this year. I mean, I wouldn't want to play a Michigan State or even a Xavier or whatever, but Xavier, Villanova, those teams, they're not instilling fear
they're not
across
scary
the
this
country.
Year.
No one is looking at that one-seeded Virginia or Oregon or even North Carolina and saying, wow, that team's going to totally...
It's like Texas A&M, are you kidding me?
Who do you pick to go to the Final Four?
I'm more intimidated to play football against them than basketball.
No doubt.
Yes, I understand. They went to the SEC title game. Got it. Not scared.
It's funny you just mentioned how some of those teams went to the Sweet 16, like Florida Gulf Coast. I don't think we would have remembered their first-round upset if they hadn't pulled a second one. And that's the thing. So Valparaiso, of course, everyone knows the Bryce Drew shot in 98. What I don't think people remember is that then they won their second game.
Really?
There was an upset that they ran into. I believe they beat Florida State. It was also a double-digit seed.
Sure.
And then they got to the Sweet 16 and lost to Rhode Island. I don't think without that second win, which is a totally, forgettable game.
Like, I remember UAB. I remember UAB because they beat Iowa State. And anybody who beats Iowa State is automatically
beat Iowa?
My best
there
friend.
Was a 2-15.
Northwestern State. It was a 3-14.
There was a shot that they made.
It was unbelievable.
It was a crazy three-point shot with maybe 2 seconds.
2006, Iowa won the Big Ten tournament, got a 3 seed in the tournament, lost to Northwestern State with something like 1.2 seconds left.
And nobody remembers Northwestern State.
Because you didn't win that second game.
I couldn't even come up with that name right
there. You didn't win that second game.
That was a totally dramatic game. You're totally right. It's just that's sort of an interesting dynamic to this.
Yeah,
too,
you do have to win that second game to become one of those the teams that I need. Yeah, the people that live on in Americana because you get those extra 4 days of coverage.
Yes, that's
because if
correct.
You win Thursday and you're done by Saturday, you had literally one day to enjoy
out of the
it.
News cycle.
But if you win Saturday, you don't play again until next Friday. You're at 5 day news cycle.
So we've spent a lot of time talking about basketball and not talking about Wisconsin. They are the 7th seed paired up with the 10th seeded Pittsburgh Panthers. They've met each other before in the NCAA tournament. Do you have any insight into this one? I mean, I see Wisconsin, like a lot of these middle level 5, 6, 7 seed teams, as capable of going to the Final Four just because I'm not, like we said, afraid of anyone.
Yeah, like I'm not afraid of Xavier in the second round.
Right.
But I'm equally afraid of Pitt in the first round.
Right, of course.
I mean, like, there's no reason to think that they could beat Xavier, but there's no way that like they could lose to Pitt.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they absolutely could. So I have no insight at all. They could easily lose on Friday, and they could easily make a run to the third weekend.
Yeah, it's such a mystery this year. And in a way it's not as fun because we saw last year a very good tournament where there were a lot of upsets, but there seemed to be a hierarchy and there were some interruptions to the hierarchy. This year it's such a blob. I mean, who do you think is going to go to the Final Four? I think anybody who says I feel really strongly that this team is going to win it,
aside from Michigan State or Kansas.
Right. Okay. So there are two teams that probably are above the rest, but fill out the other two regionals. Forget it. It's just there's no clear cut.
But even
answer.
Then, if Bryn Forbes isn't playing well for Michigan State, they're nothing.
I know. I totally agree. With
they're
you.
Just Denzel Valentine and a couple other bros.
And that's a very beatable team. And we've seen it when it's a beatable team because Bryn Forbes, when he came out at the end of the year, that's when Michigan State became so deadly.
Yeah.
And Kansas is a obviously a very good team. They don't have a go-to guy. You could see them having a rough first, second round.
They just have Wayne
game.
Seldon's dad. That's a go-to guy. That's who I want to go to every time.
Wayne Seldon's dad, no doubt. So switching gears now to the high school game. As we mentioned, the girls' basketball tournament wrapped up this past weekend. There was a...
Milwaukee had a rough time.
There was a championship from the Milwaukee area in New Berlin Eisenhower. There were also three teams that finished in the state championship and did not win. That would be Maguanago in Division 1, Milwaukee Languages in Division 4, and Kenosha St. Joseph's.
Languages Division 3, St. Joseph's 4. Maybe if you were there for the games, you would know.
I was on my way.
You covered your teams that you had to cover.
It's true.
See,
yes.
I'll be nice to you sometimes.
And so Eisenhower kind of wasn't seen. This isn't a typical powerhouse Eisenhower team. They were highly regarded over the course of the season, but they managed to really put it together at the end of the year. They're the only team to have beaten Pius this year, and they did it twice. They had to survive overtime in the semifinal, and then they win the final. A very, very impressive showing. I mean, I think it's another case where the team that gets hot wins the tournament. I would not have picked them to go to the, not even to go to state. They were a one seed, but I picked Pewaukee to get to state. Eisenhower took care of them, took care of Pius, just really workmanlike performance.
Yeah, so that was nice just to finally get some happy interviews for me just because it was a rough day. But Chelsea Brackman was really good. Emily Hahn, I thought was really good. They had a freshman, Julia Hintz, I believe was her name.
Yes.
She had some really big shots, and they talked about her a lot, how she has been playing beyond her years as well as the other underclassmen.
Emily Hahn, interesting, because her sisters, Jessa and Anna, both played in the state championship
game. I remember Anna.
Anna was a member of the 2010 championship team, and then Jessa a couple years ago, a team that lost in the championship game. So it's kind of the Hahn family business, is what I said in the post-game interview. Because it really kind of is. They've all three been to the championship game, which is quite the feat for the family.
So good stuff there. Maguanago came up really just short, which was really sad. It was actually the exact opposite of what Eisenhower did. Eisenhower used a 12-0 run when they were down 9 with 7 minutes left to win. And Maguanago had a similar lead, fall away late. They were only up 4 and then, down. They were up 4, went down 5 in one swift run. So the career ends for Bree Sarah, one of the best players in Wisconsin, who will, like many others, not be playing college basketball in Wisconsin.
In the state of Wisconsin. No.
That is a thing.
That is a huge conversation for another day.
Yeah.
But, she's going to Iowa, going to be in the Big Ten, tremendous player.
I forgot that Megan Gustafson is at Iowa, who is the... She has, like, three of the top 6 single-season scoring records.
Really?
She played for South Shore, which is way up north on the South Shore of Superior. All-time points leader in Wisconsin. I forgot that she was at Iowa this year.
Yeah, because it's always hard to gauge how good those kids are up north when they're playing smaller schools. But obviously, obviously the Big Ten thought she was just fine. I mean, you don't.
But yeah, I mean, there's we can get into it a different show. But there's always, you know, Nicole Griffin, Oklahoma, Gabby Ortiz, so
Oklahoma, Sam Logic, who went to Iowa. She was a McDonald's All-American.
Yeah.
So yes, it's an interesting landscape in women's basketball in the state of Wisconsin. But anyway,
but now we have boys to focus on.
Yes, we do. I was going to say we can now shift gears to the boys tournament. Some local teams involved include Muskego qualifying on a buzzer beater in Division One, which
again
is very
another buzzer beater for them.
Two buzzer beaters in four games, three games actually. So that's impressive. And Whitnall with Tyler Harrow, one of the more highly regarded sophomores in the state. Wisconsin has offered him. He will get to play in kind of a star-studded Division II field because on the other side, they play Wanakee, but on the other side of that bracket, Jordan McCabe of Kakana, who is gaining heavy interest from Wisconsin and others, will play Kobe King in La Crosse Central. Kobe King is committed to Wisconsin, so that's an all-star cast for the Division II tournament. That'll be kind of fun.
Division II, Kobe versus Jordan.
Oh, man, I did not pick up on
legit,
that.
Oh, yeah. Like,
how,
I knew that?
How did I miss that?
I knew that it was Kobe King and Jordan McCabe.
Kobe versus Jordan.
And then it hit me. It's Kobe versus Jordan.
Somebody has got to have made that a thing
There's also got to be a LeBron in the field somewhere. There's 20 teams, and it's 2016. There's got to be a LeBron.
Prediction. In 10 to 15 years, LeBrons will be all over these basketball rosters. Yeah, no doubt. There'll be Steffens and LeBrons all over because Shaquilles have filtered up, and there are a lot of Shaquilles in high school basketball right now.
So Division II, Kakana had already beaten La Crosse earlier in the year by 15, so it looks like Kakana might get up there into the state final against Whitnall or Wanakee. Division I, I mean, Stevens Point is obliterating
folks. Yeah, it's over.
I mean,
it's over. I'm sorry.
Germantown was one of the most impressive dynasties. This might be the most impressive team that we've ever seen.
I completely agree. And my colleague Stephen Tietz is threatening to write a sort of a thought piece about if you could bring that Germantown team from that second championship team that had like Luke Fisher, Lamonte Beard, and Brent.
Yeah, it was without Showalter and Mongan.
Right,
but
right.
It had Fisher as a senior.
And Bearden.
Yeah.
And Jake Showalter, Jawan McLeod coming off the bench.
Yeah.
If you have that team going up against the Spash team. Now, Steve, bless his heart, is a Germantown guy, and I think he's probably going to pick that Germantown team to win. And I've tried to reason with him because that Stevens Point team, what we see right now with three bona fide Division I college recruits on that team, I got to tell you, if anything can happen in basketball, and I've said that because it's high school and it's basketball and these things happen. But nobody's going to beat Stevens Point in Division I. I mean, bless their hearts for all getting there, but it's Stevens Point, folks.
Once they get past Sheboygan North, they will beat either Marquette or Muskego, and we will, well, I might be there to witness it. I don't know if I'm back from Oklahoma in time.
Yes.
But
will Sam Hauser beat the Marquette University High School on his way to Marquette University?
Ah, that's not as good as Jordan versus Kobe.
Not even close
okay.
to as good, but still in the ballpark.
Yeah, Division III has Appleton Xavier, and I think that's it. Division IV, I was surprised that Dominican has made it this far. They're obviously a good program, but as we've talked about several times, specifically with the multiplier rule just being the Diamond Stone rule, I mean, I was saying, I hope all these schools just wait until Diamond Stone leaves, then it's not a problem anymore. And then you don't need to worry about the multiplier. Well, they've lost one game, I think. So.
Yeah, to Brown Deer, who for the longest time was seen as a Division III state title contender. They haven't, like every year, they don't play a super tough schedule because of the division that they're in, or the conference that they're in. They're seeing some, actually, you know, come to think of it, they're seeing some pretty decent teams in that conference. They're seeing St. Joe's.
Yeah, and they play a lot of
Catholic
Division
Central,
1, 2, 3 teams,
state.
Too.
Yep, and they do. They stretch themselves in the non-conference. They do. The beginning of the year, they almost lost to a Roncalli team. I think they won at the buzzer. And Roncalli, I saw them play. Good team. Very good team. Not, you wouldn't think in the ballpark of the same Dominican, you know, what we normally expect from Dominican. So that it went as that it came down to the wire made me think this Dominican team just isn't going to be as good. And it's understandable. They don't have Diamond Stone. They graduated, you know, Garrison Good, too, for that matter, who was a 6'8 kid that was a wonderful second option. They did have Costas, who was very raw last year, didn't see the floor a ton. He's a defensive, you know, wizard because he's got great length, and this team has used defense as a way of maintaining their perch on the top. They are a defensive-minded team. Teams are lucky to get into the 50s against them and rarely do. So they really have sort of used that to sort of continue on this level. And again, they're still at one loss as they head into the state tournament, and it would surprise no one if they won an unprecedented fifth straight title.
Which has never happened, which is also what unprecedented means.
That is what unprecedented means.
It has never happened. I think those
are
two different...
Were you worried that they wouldn't know what that meant?
No, I think it needs to be stressed, because Randolph won four straight, Germantown won three straight, a lot of people have won a lot, Vincent won three... I think Manitowoc is up there. I don't know. They usually are, just from the 80s or something like that. But nobody 80s. Has ever won five straight, and I think it's immensely impressive to do it without Diamond Stone, if they do it. They do have to get past an undefeated Cameron squad, perhaps, but Cameron has played a lot of Lakelands and Hayward, not Haywards. Hayward is too big for their division, even. So I think you get my point of what I'm trying to make.
Now, I'm sure that team is good, and I'm sure when we get to state, it really, that division, you can still say anything can happen and not have to say it with a wink and a nod, like with Stephen's point. Anything could happen, but I would definitely expect Dominican to hoist another gold ball, based on their track record, their success, and their schedule. I really, I think that they're just that good.
There we go. And then Division 5 has Catholic Central.
That's right. They kind of snuck in there, and I'm not sure people thought that this Catholic Central team, one of many teams that gets that drop-down effect when you're in, with the creation of Division 5, you have a lot more teams that play in a conference with bigger schools, and then they get into the tournament and sort of pick on teams their own size, and they wind up being one of the better, more battle-tested teams out there.
Are you going to actually get off your couch and go cover state basketball?
Absolutely not. I love the couch. It's a very good view. Now that they have HD on these broadcasts, I got really no reason to leave.
All right.
Then
I look forward to getting off a plane off of 4 days of tournament coverage and beating you to the Kohl Center.
Well, you probably will. There's a chance I'll be there on Championship Saturday if we've got both Whitnall and Muskego in the finals. So you may see me there. You may see me at a Dominican
game. You're so big time.
Look, JP, I got lots of things. I got lots of people.
As long as I'm not one of your people, that's fine.
You are one of my people now. We hung out in Green Bay covering this girls. This is the first time we've actually pretended to be friends.
I will say that your 68 degrees of separation is somewhat above awful. So
that's good.
If you wanted to go to mycommunitynow.com/JR is an idiot.
That's not it
at all. .html. You will find a decent piece to read.
You're really bad at reading email and
do you want to plug Phoenix
addresses.
Rising?
Phoenix Rising is still on TV somewhere. The sun never sets on the
Time
Warner Cable Sports
Empire. It's
going to
run until Friday because that's when their game is
at
6:20.
I have not seen it. I didn't see it Monday, so I will be
watching.
And
it's fun because Link Darner is a good interview. Carrington Love is a pious kid who's fun to talk to. Jordan Faust is a very quiet Racine kid who's good to talk to. I mean, it's fun and it's well done.
What else can we find on Time Warner Cable's airwaves?
No, that's it. We're just literally just airing that.
We're just doing that.
The 1994 game over Cal is airing this
week. Gary Gresh shutting down Jason Kidd.
Wow.
It gets me excited. I lived in the Fox Cities at the time. That was like the biggest deal out there. And then they played the following year in the tournament. And well, maybe not the following year, but Jeff Nordgaard year, I think that's 97 or something. In the
96 was their last tournament appearance. It's
so
been 20
it's
years.
Prior
you remember
to that?
That
with, well, yeah. Okay, so the Jeff Nordgaard team.
Why don't you just guess
is
some
the
more
one
stuff.
That beat Cal. I yes. remember the year before where they almost won but did not.
Correct.
So
why don't you just guess at some more
Look,
stuff?
Look, I'm old now. Things run together.
Oh, I know.
I can't be young.
The way that you
youthful.
Kept up on Saturday night.
Oh,
yeah, we could tell that you're old.
You are never going to let me live down the fact that I wanted to be responsible and stop drinking and go
home.
Hope
you enjoyed your little maple old-fashioned.
It was good, that one drink that I had. It was very nice.
Right.
It was a nice
All
time.
Right. I'm getting work done before I'm heading to Oklahoma City.
All
you
right.
enjoy the comforts of your home.
I will, and safe travels to you.
Thank
and
you.
Hopefully your travels continue all throughout the country, as
yeah,
I hope Wisconsin,
why not?
Wisconsin goes to an unprecedented, for them, third consecutive Final Four, since two is also unprecedented. That's the word of the day.
Unprecedented.
Yes. And,
well, it would be unprecedented if I tolerated you much longer.
It's
so.
True.
Thank you for coming to me today and joining me on this lovely podcast,
It's
JR.
Always a pleasure. Matching wits with the great JP Canola.
Oh, thank you, JR. Thank you for listening to Initial Reaction. Bye, friends.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.